Brody and Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yeah, buddy. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Wait a minute. Dr. Bruce. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Bruce, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, tattoo removal specialist, emergency medicine specialist. What doesn't he specialize in? And by the way, I've never checked in all these things, but to me, specializing in 100 things means sucking at 100 things. You can only specialize in like two or three things. It's like you can't be the world's greatest athlete in 35 sports.
So I have an attention deficit driven career. So
all right. Atmosphere is here tonight. First time the band's been on the show, yes?
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And they're going to be on dear friend Jimmy Kimmel's show on Friday, which is kind of cool. Where, do you guys know where you're playing? Are you playing outside? Are you playing up front?
Inside. Yeah.
Playing in the foyer?
Inside on the ceiling. I'm not sure yet, yeah.
We got Ant Slug and DJ Mr. Dibs in here tonight. They're also going to be playing Coachella and the Warped Tour this summer, and we're going to hear something off the CD, Seven's Travels, in just a couple of few. What's happening? Minnesota? What's going on in Minnesota? The band's all from, all born and raised in Minnesota?
Yep. Well, everybody but this guy, the ugly one next to us, he's from Cincinnati. Don't even give him the mic. He's not allowed to talk.
Bruce, you're from Cincinnati?
No, I was...
Oh, to your left.
This guy over here.
I'm sorry. I thought you pointed you right. Yeah, Cincy, and then everybody...
We call Cincy out here. The bread on the sandwich, we're from Minneapolis, that guy, me. And it's really cold there right now. We're actually happy to be out here in California right now.
Yeah, it's... but I heard... I've only been there one time to Minnesota or Minneapolis, but I heard... Because of the weather, they just built everything inside.
Yeah, a lot. You know, you can get around without having to go outside in the downtown areas and stuff like that. But you're stuck in your house in the winter if you want to stay warm.
I like the concept of ice fishing because fishing alone, just good weather fishing is
you
got to
be joking.
Enough.
You don't want to. You really think there's something neat about like sitting in a shack on a lake?
He's so
with a hole.
I think it's an excuse to get loaded. I mean, people have whole.
I can think of better excuses to get loaded.
Yeah. I know, but there's something like if you sat on your sofa and got drunk on a Sunday, you got a problem with alcohol. But if you push a outhouse out the middle of the lake,
you've got more problems than just alcohol.
You're a sportsman. Now you're a sportsman.
I see.
I just like the idea. Like, I never knew that people had little cabins with skis on them, and they push them out, and they drill a hole, and then they just sit there and get juiced.
Everything you know is from Grumpy Old Men.
No. I had a girlfriend that was from that neck of the woods, and the idea of just sitting on a frozen block. There's probably a cooler full of beer, ironically, as if you couldn't just set it on the ground. But you just sit there and get loaded, right? It's all about getting drunk.
I mean, I don't ice fish.
You don't ice
fish?
Yeah,
oh, come on, man.
Okay, sometimes I ice fish, but you're right. It's an excuse to get
drunk. It seems like you're asking for trouble, too, when you fire up the big auger bit and you're drilling and you're standing over the hole you're drilling in. It seems like you just pretty good chance you may end up in the lake with the fish, and some drunk guy may fish you out and eat you.
I think you should try it. I'm going to try that. I think you should.
I'm going to get into that because I think that's my calling.
I think you should get loaded and do ice sailing.
Yeah. Just the point is I need to sit and get drunk and have a reason. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, Seinfeld can be an excuse to get loaded. Like,
All right, I'm going to do that. So anyway, we're going to hear something off the CD. I'm trying to think of what else. Spin Magazine's named their album one of the top of 2003. Out of how many? Did they give you how many?
Like 912.
No,
I think it was out of like 50 or 20.
That's nice.
A normal increment, yeah. Those guys are nice people.
It's a little tip of the hat there from Spin Magazine. And these guys are going on tour and going to be playing in Seattle, Portland, Sacramento, San Francisco, Philly, Boston, New York, Washington, D.C., and Denver. And that's all in the next about 3 weeks or so. So keep an eye out for them. All right, let's go to the phones because we got a question for the band. Jeff?
From Minneapolis, hello?
That's you, Jeff.
Okay.
What's up?
Hey, Adam, I just wanted to first say that you are one of the funniest and coolest guys that's on the air right now.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to coming to your fair city and ice fishing.
Right on.
Well, let me ask this real quick, too. There's not exactly 10,000 likes, are there?
I think there's more than that.
More.
Yeah, right. They just keep popping up.
Yeah,
so maybe it's time.
This is like multiplying.
I'm actually.
So we kick it up to like 12,000 likes or something, or maybe that doesn't really roll off.
Like every time it rains, there's like a new lake in Minnesota. Yeah.
It's where the Lakers got their name, huh?
I actually live on a lake. I'm looking out right now. I live on Prior Lake.
Do you ice
Prior
fish?
Lake.
Prior Lake, all right.
Do you do any ice fishing, Jeff?
No, that's kind of like a redneck thing out here.
Okay, wait, here's a question. Even if you did, would you admit it?
No.
Okay,
no,
good.
I don't know.
What's your question for the band, Jeff?
I have a question. Like, when you guys, like, slug, dibs, and when you guys come back to Minneapolis and play, like, First Ave or Triple Rock, like, is it harder to put on a good show? Or, like, I mean, is there more pressure to put on a good show? Or do you think it just comes more naturally? Because we're, like, you know, we're here to see you guys, you know? Like,
yeah. I mean, there's definitely a lot more pressure, man. Like, you know, I mean, typically any one of you can bump into me on Lindale Avenue drunk at 4 p.m. And so I got to go, like, further out of my way to, like, you know, give you something or I don't know. Like, there's a lot more pressure, man.
Yeah.
You've seen me how many times?
I saw you guys like 3 times at First Ave, and I'm not 21. I actually work at the Triple Rock, but I didn't see you guys at that show, and I heard Dibs got hit in the head with like a bottle or something.
His head's like a magnet for bottles. Yeah.
No, but I bumped into you a lot of times at Fifth Element. So.
Yeah, exactly, and I think that's what it is. It's kind of like I can't just kind of I wish I could just get up there and, like, you know, act like a fool, but for some reason or another, it tends to get a lot more personal when I play in the city, so it is a little bit more pressure, a little bit more neurosis.
Yeah, I feel that when bands come on here from, like, England, like when Blur comes on, and we're like, how you guys doing today? Shut up. Who cares? You know, they're like, they don't care because they're not, none of their friends are going to hear the show is the way they're, like, look, if I was doing a talk show in Italy, I'd just pull my balls out and I'd just be sitting there with my legs spread. And
how's that any different than right now?
No, I'm talking about on television. I have my balls out on radio. That's because it's, you know, it's dicey in here. It's a little warm. It's gamey. I like to let them breathe. But the point is if I was in another country doing a show, I'd just be scratching my nuts and picking my nose and telling everyone to F off and not even bother trying to come up with anything entertaining. But if you're in front of your people, you gotta do it. So when you guys are in Minneapolis, you got to put on a good show. And then when you go across the seas,
I think you're scaring the
balls
band
out.
That's okay. We get to suck everywhere else but Minneapolis.
That's right.
So, Jeff, don't move.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, typically bands from over there, we have bands in here from England all the time, and they're typically, I don't want to call them a-holes, but they're a-holes.
But that's the English personality. It's reserved.
No, they're not a-holes. I mean, like Coldplay was nice, but we used to have a lot of a-hole English bands, and it's because I realized they don't really care. It's no big deal. Like, they weren't putting an effort. It's like you'd ask them a question and they'd be like, I don't know, it's whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't even bother answering questions and stuff. And I thought about it. They're just getting back on a plane and going back to Hounslow or something. And no one, they don't know, they don't care. It's the same way. You see what I'm saying? It's like how you drive a rental car. Who cares? Throw it in the reverse while you're still going forward. Doesn't matter. No one's going to know. You don't have to keep it. No one's going to call you on. Yeah, okay. I'm just saying, you got to put out when you're in your hometown. That's all. Clint?
Hey.
You're 25?
Yes, sir. Adam, have you ever had an unfunny idea?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You just crack me up nightly.
Thanks. Well, that's a compliment. Thank you.
My question's for Dr.
Yeah, you ought to hear how bad my ideas are when I go to England.
Well,
balls hanging out, picking
a
zit.
Show me a British comedy that's actually funny.
What's that?
Show me a British comedy on their TV that's actually funny, though.
I know, that's a good point. Everybody out here, if you're in Hollywood, everyone's like, oh, this is great. It's got to be great. It's from Britain.
Well, you know, Monty Python. I mean,
all right. Oh, Holy Grail's good. All right. All right, go ahead, Clint.
Dr. Bruce, I heard you talking a couple nights ago about a Fedder and how much you hate it. And I've worked night at stock shelves, and I take one or two pills occasionally to help me stay awake and be alert because caffeine doesn't help So I'm, I want to know, and I'm a type 1 diabetic, too, so I wanted to hear if there's anyone else.
What about diabetes and ephedra?
Well, it puts you more at risk to have arrhythmias, to have any of the problems that you characteristically have with diabetes. Because, first of all, ephedrine is one molecule away from methamphetamine. To get the same stimulant effect, which is some people are trying to get a low-grade stimulant effect, whether it's to
and
stay
when,
awake.
When you say molecule, like, we think that just means like Smurf's ass hair. Like we say in construction, like that one molecule, man, it's just this close, but you literally mean one molecule.
Water is H2O. So if you take an oxygen and
hydrogen.
Hold on,
dude.
Oh, God.
And if that water freezes and I drill it, will I get drunk?
So if you take the water. Yeah. Right. And just for example, if you take an oxygen and a hydrogen off of ephedrine, you have methamphetamine. So that's how close you are. Now, the difference is in your body. It takes more ephedrine, a higher blood level, to get into the brain. Methamphetamine is more fat soluble. It goes into the brain easier. So to get that stimulant feeling in the brain, you need a higher blood level of ephedrine. And actually, there's more risk to your heart, your blood pressure, your nerves.
They're pulling it all off the shelves now. So people aren't going to be able to get it anymore. But what do you think young Clint should take instead of ephedrine if he wants to stay up?
He should manage his blood sugars. He should eat right and exercise and drink lots of water. Seriously. Because here's the problem. After about 7 days of taking any dose of ephedrine, even if it's a reasonable dose, he's going to develop a tolerance to it and need more.
What about caffeine pills?
It's the same thing. You develop a tolerance. Your body immediately adjusts to whatever you put in that alters your baseline state.
And there's no easy answers, huh?
How well are you controlling your diabetes? How seriously are you taking it? Because people tend not to have the complications till later in life, and they don't pay that much attention to careful management of their sugar levels, and that's when the damage is done.
My A1Cs aren't where they should be.
They're not.
So you're saying, it'll be easier to stay awake if I...
If you're well high, if you drink lots of fluids,
really?
A1Cs are... It's a way of looking at over a long period of time how well your sugar's controlled. So, yeah.
Let me say this.
Hey, I used to take lots of Vivarin. I used to drive a truck, and I don't know if this is that similar, but I do know that when I stopped taking the stuff, I crashed, and it took a minute for me to get over the fact that I was doing that. And I'm a caffeine freak. I drink like about 3 pots of coffee a day, not really that much, but it feels like that. And so I can't imagine the situation. I don't know what the diabetes like does to it, but when I was taking the Vivarin, it was because I had an overnight job stocking shelves, and it helped me do my job. It helped me stay awake, even though I was getting normal sleep on the regular. It still was really hard for me to stay awake
as long as it hasn't affected the speech patterns, I think we're good. Here's what I want to ask. That's right. You're on a listen. It happens. You get on a roll, and then right at the end, I just did it there. Here's what I want to ask about water. How come everyone's been begging everyone to drink water for like the last 15 years, and now everyone's drinking a ton of water, and everyone's still fat?
People don't work out.
That's why
people are fat.
But you guys remember like it was like 10 years ago, everyone would say, you got to drink more water. You got to drink like eight full glasses of water every day. Every dietitian would just end every sermon with more water, more water. You're not drinking enough water. And by the way, people didn't drink much water. You didn't carry water with you. I mean, you didn't drink water in your car. You wouldn't have these. You didn't have these satchels filled with water and stuff like you do now. Now everyone drinks a ton of water, and everyone's fatter than they ever were.
Well, there's no direct correlation with weight.
Why?
Because it's not a weight thing.
You a-holes told us all to drink more water
for
the last 15 years, and now everyone's still fat. We're just hydrated.
More meat.
Yeah.
It's a very poorly stated question, Adam.
Well, okay, but here's what I want to say. Americans are drinking 500 times more water than they drank 15 years ago.
Right.
You never saw anyone drinking water in their car. You never saw anyone drinking water while they were walking. They weren't chugging and walking. They weren't riding and chugging. They weren't in their office and chugging water. Everyone's drinking a ton more water. Everyone's the same.
No, they're not.
They're
the same.
Fatter.
Let
actually.
Me give you an example. If you're drinking your 1, 2, 3, 4 cups of coffee in the morning and it gets you going, you're going to crash in the afternoon. And it's, we're not talking about people doing a line of speed and staying up for days. But
if you're drinking water, the equivalent amount, you're going to have the same energy. You can have an even energy level, better output, better productivity during the day.
Yeah, right.
Also, your body relies on water to wash out impurities.
But what are you asking? Are you asking why are people still fat or more fat than ever?
Yeah, I'm
people,
saying
because there's water in the coffee.
I'm saying that so, 10 years ago, all any of the dietitians said is everyone's got to drink more water. It's the healthiest thing you can do. Now everyone drinks a ton more water, and everyone's fatter than ever. So I'm just saying, I want an apology. That's all. One apology from the doctors and the dietitians, all begging everyone to drink water. Everyone drinks a ton of water now. They're all fat.
No
and
apology.
Lazy and they smell.
If you look at how much sugar there is in one soft drink, if you replace
all
just
right,
a
quiet
couple
down, quiet down.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Kelly.
So yes.
You're 23.
Yes.
Your hubby leaves work to go to a strip club, and then lies about it.
He would go to work for like 4 hours of the 8-hour shift, and then he'd be gone. A couple times he went to the strip club.
Mm-hmm. And he lies about it.
Yeah.
Well, he's doing a god awful job of lying about it, by the way.
Pretty much.
If you really think about it.
He has family
if
that.
If you know about it, that means the lying is not effective. Unless he's bragging about it, like, hey, I nailed 5 hookers.
Wait, how does she know about it? How did you find out?
Yeah.
Well, he's got family and friends that I know at his work. And they're the ones who came back and told me about it.
Well, what kind of puss rats out the guy who goes over for a little businessman's lunch, you know, with the $3.99 buffet at the Hello Kitty, and gets on the horn and rats out the coworker, or the, you know, the
well, they came back
uncle.
And told me because yeah. we just had a baby about 3 months ago.
All right. Well, what's he doing at this strip club?
Well, according to him, mostly he just says he's not really watching it, according to him. He's just sitting there.
He's reading.
And
they
playing,
got
playing pool
the
with his
best chili fries in all of Wisconsin over there. I put blinders on. I pull my collar up high on my jacket. I look down at my feet, and I walk with purpose right to the chili fries, eat them, and leave.
Yeah.
How, is that what he says? Right.
How often is he going, and how much money is he spending, and how is it impacting? How do you see it impacting your relationship?
Well, he's not spending any money. His buddy
really?
Is paying for all of it.
His buddy?
Yeah.
Oh,
his
who is this?
Going to all these,
who is
like,
this guy?
Like
to hang out with him? What's that?
He's going to all these cash stores and getting advance money. His friend is, and then he was taking him up there.
His friend is.
His friend is basically, I would say, influencing him to go up, even though his friend wanted me to be able to like him and be able to get along with him and his wife.
All right. Well, maybe this is heading towards swinging. I don't know.
Yeah.
Are these topless places?
Yes.
And, boy, topless place is calling from Wisconsin in January. That's going to be a tough
where are you at in Wisconsin?
We're in about a half an hour from Madison.
Is it the place right off of 94, the purple one?
he's going to the Dells. I can't.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Would you say stripper? Would you say purple's the number one strip joint color?
I hope so.
Yeah, head shop.
Yeah.
Strip joint.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah, he'd confessed to me where he was going and everything like that.
What part of it? What part of
it? Businessman's lunch. Hey, Kelly's husband's in the house. He just wants to eat, and then he's heading on out. Blah, 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 blah. Sheila, stage 5, stage charge. Blah, 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 blah.
I like when they have to take care of a little business in the middle of their crappy boner rants.
So, Kelly, what's going on in the relationship right now, though? You've had a baby. Frequently after a baby, the sex dies down.
It didn't die down.
What part bothers you the most? Is it the fact that he lied about it or the fact that he's going to this venue?
Well, it's the fact that he's had to lie to me about it. And when I found out he had lied about it, it kind of made me feel like he wasn't finding me as attractive anymore.
Well, okay, so what do you think his motive to lie would be? Is he afraid of your reaction? Is he afraid of disappointing you or hurting you? Or do you think it's like just straight snake stuff? Like, what's the motive?
I'd probably say it's because he doesn't want to hurt me, and he doesn't want me to get mad at him. Yeah. Part.
Well, let me explain something with guys and lying and the syndrome that they get into with women. I'm putting Kelly on hold for a second. Here's how it works. Woman finds a guy's a porn movie. Woman is surprised. What is this? Woman makes proclamation. This will not be allowed in the house anymore. Guy says, fine. It'll be out of the house. Guy has no intention of getting it out of the house, and then the lying begins. Like, if you tell a guy, look, swear you'll never go to a strip club, swear you'll never beat off in the shower, swear you'll never look at another woman, swear you'll never look at any pornography, all you're going to get is lying.
Right.
Now, it's a different kind of lying than one where you're trying to bilk someone out of money or something like that. You're really just trying to let the sleeping dogs lie here. You realize you beating off to a little porn every once in a while is not going to hurt the relationship or the way you feel about your woman, but she doesn't realize that. And in order to avoid a little conflict on the home front, you just lie. I mean, this is common. This is what guys do. And by the way, women think guys are going to strip clubs and all the strippers are going, oh, look at Kelly's husband. Wow, the way his gut slops over his belt. Look at that. Look at that big double chin and those pork chop sideburns. I got to get me some of that. Well, no. They think he's a disgusting pig with the crazy red hair, and he's got the bad Argyle sweater on, and all they want to do is get a couple of bucks from his buddy and then move on. There's nothing sexual going on.
Right.
Yes.
But the important part, a lot of women have a hard time, and I've heard Drew talk about the, you know, there's a level of maturity that is required in understanding the masturbation, you know, low-level interest in pornography. But when you get into, you know, going to strip clubs, lying about it, then you start to wonder.
Well,
you
got to lie. You got
to start on the slippery slope.
You got to lie.
Slippery slope.
I was like, I like the idea of if you took 100 guys who all went to a strip club and then reported back to their women, it was none of their ideas. It's like, oh man, I wanted to get back to the hotel. I want to gamble. I always wanted to get to the casino, but Herb had to swing by Desert Poontang's. And what was I going to do, wait in the car? I mean, I had to go in.
Right.
Well, but 6 hours goes by pretty fast. You know, I was trying to get Herb out of there after 10 minutes, but he wouldn't leave. And then everyone just tells everyone it was everyone else's idea. But, all right, no, wait, we're going to straighten Kelly out. Kelly?
Yeah.
So here's the thing about your husband. You should tell him, look, it's okay to look at a little porno every once in a while, and it's okay to go to a strip club every once in a while.
Right.
One of your buddies is getting married. There's a bachelor party, something
right.
like that. No big deal. Some old college buddies, high school buddies, back into town, go to the strip club once in a while. But you shouldn't be knocking off work at noon and going to the strip club on a Tuesday.
Oh, right. No, it's not at noon. He works from a night shift.
No, well, that's cool.
He's there
all
day.
Right, then. That's fine. Then.
No.
You're working night shift. Yeah, that's a perk.
The important thing is that she not overreact, but sit him down and talk to him about it seriously.
Yeah. I think you should ask him, why is he lying? What is he really afraid of?
Well, I mean, I think it depends on if the lying is a reoccurring thing. But if you're looking at what just happened here, he basically was trying to not look bad in front of you.
No, wait. You know what we have to clarify?
Hmm.
Is he lying to you
not
telling you what he does? That's the difference.
Good adrenaline. Businessman's lunch. Cinnamon stage four. $18 bottles of champagne.
And the guy, the friend that's going to get the advance cash, that's trouble.
Right.
Bad business.
I like swing with that guy.
I think
though.
He's just insecure about how you're going to look at him, and so he's trying to hide something like that from you. But
he's
like,
just eating.
Guys always lie. You have to lie if you're going to a strip club.
It's lunch.
All right. We didn't solve her problem at all. We got to take a break. Let me just say this. Is someone something ringing?
Uh-oh.
Is it? Bruce. Did we not have this conversation last night? This is what I love about Bruce. Bruce,
he needs to take a phone call right
now. He's a doctor who never, ever learns. Bruce, did we have this conversation
last
night?
Dude, are you on call?
No, it's the stupid pagers going off. What's going off, Bruce?
Okay.
What is exactly the same thing that happened last night?
It goes into roam mode and it notifies.
Right, remember we had this conversation last night?
Yeah, the ring's off.
Yeah, remember you said that last night? Okay, all right. Everyone, real fast, cabin fever. I got to do this promotion, and we go to break.
Do the Stephen Baldwin impersonation.
What is a Stephen Baldwin impersonation?
He did the Alec Baldwin. Stephen Baldwin doing the Alec Baldwin. Remember when he was reading it last night?
All right, let's go turn your pager back on and get out of here, will you? All callers who get on the air tonight who are over 18 are going to get a Cabin Fever DVD. And that's a, you know, they get all the behind-the-scenes crap and all that kind of stuff. And then you register to win a ski vacation up to Whistler, which is in Canada, Dr. Drew says. And you know how Dr. Drew knows so much about skiing? Where do you think his goddamn ass is right now? Skiing! While I bust my hump over a hot mic. That's how you know Drew's... If Drew were here, ironically, not skiing, he could tell you how good it is to ski at Whistler.
He's meeting
For all I know, he may be at Whistler right
now. He's meeting his continuing medical education requirements.
Yeah, right. Right. Driving a snow cat and drinking hot toddies by the fireplace with mucklucks. Probably doing some ice fishing. Anyway, you call in... You get on the air, you get the DVD if you're over 18, we put you in for the drawing, and the amount I talk, we only talk to like two people over 18 every week. Like a 50-50 chance of winning this vacation. You and four friends, you go to the cabin, you go up there, and Bigfoot eats you. And that's all nice. All right, Atmosphere is in studio tonight. They're going to be on Jimmy Kimmel Live on Friday. We're going to take a quick break. Dr. Bruce is in the hizzy. We'll hear a song from Atmosphere, and we'll do all that after this.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Hey, y'all. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew.
Who's, and this is Mr. Skin. Dibbs.
And Ant and Slug and all here.
Where's
from
Dr. Drew?
Yeah, skiing. All here from Atmosphere. We're going to hear something off the... they love Dr. Drew.
Wasn't that funny?
I thought it was. Yeah, the band loved it. They're going to be... Atmosphere is going to be on that Dear, Dear, Dear Friends show, Jimmy Kimmel Live, this Friday. We'll also hear something off the new CD, Seven's Travels. And all that. Oh, also, I should say that Drew, Dr. Drew, you remember him. He used to sit right there.
Addiction medicine specialist.
Yep, addiction medicine specialist. We're going to be at Stanford and University of Stanford. Is that called the University of Stanford?
Stanford University.
Yeah. You never hear it called the University of Stanford,
do
you?
Stanford University.
It's different. Yeah. Yep. Something different. How do you decide what's University of? You got to be a city name or something?
You're asking me?
Yeah. Well, I mean, has to be like a city or a state, maybe.
They're real picky. I know it's like School of Medicine, Medical School.
Oh, okay.
Make that mistake.
No, really? All right, anyway. Stanford University, we're going to be in Palo Alto tomorrow night, y'all. So if you want to go see the show, that's all I know. I don't know where it is or how much it costs or what the deal is, but we'll be at Stanford tomorrow. All right, let's talk to Erica, who's 17. Erica?
Yes?
Calling from Riverside?
Yep.
Yeah. See, that's our Cincinnati. What's up there, Erica?
I just had a couple questions because I want to get a vertical hood piercing next month when I turn 18. Mm-hmm. And I was a little concerned because I read some stuff, and I know you're not supposed to believe what you hear on the internet or read on the internet, but they said that basically you become immune to the feeling after a while, and I don't want to lose that.
Mm-hmm. So, well, it's a tough trade-off because, you know, on one hand, you don't want to lose sensation in your clitoris. On the other hand, you have to put a spear through it at some point, yes? I mean, what are you going to do? That's tough.
I like this.
You just got to put the spear through it and, you know, hope for the best. I mean, my grandmother all went through it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Yeah, what do you think it's going to do for you?
I don't know. I mean, increased sensation, I would like to have it down there. And I like piercings, too, so...
I know, but...
Why there? I like piercings, too, but I haven't pierced my clitoris yet.
The night is young, by the way. we may still get to that. Erica, yeah. And by the way, what about having the guy with... you know, the bone going through his nose who's smells of malt liquor just telling you, yeah, spread them, sweetie. Hey, nice shave. That's
that
sweet.
Me?
What are you, 17?
It's me.
That's
me.
That's a great gig. How much you pay him? Like, you're paying him? What a gig.
I don't know. I think that your clitoris is probably, you know, as important as, like, say, your eyeball. Don't pierce either.
No, it's not piercing the clitoris, though. It's piercing the
hood. Yeah, it's the hood. And what do you mean a vertical one?
Well, they have vertical and horizontal.
I'm hip to the notion of vertical, but I didn't know they had the ones. I don't know. Is it different? So they usually do the cross ones?
I don't know. I've talked to piercing artists or experts or whatever. And
all different types.
They're dispelling the myth commonly that people come in and they expect increased sensation or some improvement in sexual function. That's just not part of it.
You're going to lose the sensation after about 2 months. My clit doesn't feel good anymore after I got mine pierced.
And he touches his a lot.
It's bulbous. It's purple. I think it's infected.
It's definitely infected.
Why don't you start with like a belly button piercing or something like that?
Well, I don't want anything on my face, and I have my nipples done already.
All right.
Do you have any abuse issues in the past?
Yeah, what's the deal? What'd your dad do? You're calling from Riverside. You got to be a mess.
No, yeah. I've talked to you guys before. I think it was when Bruce was on, too. No.
Bruce skiing again? Where's your dad?
He lives in Riverside also.
No.
No, but do you have any kind of abuse issues?
What do you do, abandon the family?
Problems.
I live with my aunt, yeah. I haven't lived with
your aunt. Wow. That's tough. When you're not black and you live with your aunt, that's problems. If you're black, that's what you do. It's
extended
like,
family.
Soon as, I mean, black's like, here, you take my kid, I'll take your kid. That way we'll each be raised by their aunt. There's some sort of like aunt exchange program in the black community. I haven't figured it out yet, and I'm not sure how there's enough aunts to go around where every single person just gets raised by their aunt. I'm guessing that the aunt gives her kids to her sister to raise, and therefore everyone can be raised by their aunts and not by. You see what I'm saying?
It stopped being funny a while ago.
Okay. Ooh. All right. That's cruel.
Okay, but
listen, you hear black family raised by the aunts, that's cool. You hear white family, that's trouble. That's big time. That's abuse. See what I'm saying?
What did Erica? What'd you call about the last time, Erica?
It was because I was asking about anal sex. I was the girl that had anal sex before vaginal sex.
Ooh, yeah.
Remember? You teased me about it.
Oh, I did. Doesn't sound like me. Okay, listen, Erica. I rarely say this, but could you find Jesus Christ or something?
My father's Jehovah's Witness, and kind of.
Oh, wait.
Now that's trouble.
What do you mean? Honestly, I think you should just shy away from piercing your hood.
Okay.
I agree.
I think it's that simple. Like, it's an easy decision to make. Like, you know, like you're gonna deal with this forever, and you kind of want it to work forever, and you don't want to lose that sensation because once that's gone, what the hell else you got? You live in Riverside. It's all you got.
Yeah.
So you know, enjoy it.
Yeah, and listen, get the hell out of Riverside and get a decent job and stop acting out, would you please?
Yeah, Erica, you know, you're free to do whatever you want, especially when you're 18, but sometimes some of the overt interest in piercing means there are some personal issues, some abuse issues in the past. She needs to go and talk to somebody.
Oh, listen, just don't have any kids, please. We'll put an end to the cycle. That's what it is. Don't have any kids and just do whatever you want because we're not going to talk her out of anything. Let's take a quick call. Someone who's bi, lone girlfriend, a ton of money. Ashley? All right. We'll talk, and then we're going to hear a song, by the way. Ashley?
Hello. Yeah.
21? Yeah.
Yeah.
You're perky. I like that. You're bisexual?
Well, I was before I got married.
A little sexual abuse in the past?
Oh, not at all.
Did you get married to a guy or a girl?
I got married to a boy at 21.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And Adam, I would like to say, longtime fan of the Man Show before I got married.
All right, getting now. Hold on a second. Hold on. I like. It sounds like a stewardess from the '60s. I like that. I like Ashley. I like the cut of her jib. I want to hear a song from Atmosphere, and I want to get it in this break. So before we have to go, so let's do that, and then we'll come back. We'll take a break, and we'll get to Ashley. All right, we got a song from, how you doing there, Chris? Good. Doing good? Anderson, you ready to rock here? All right. This song is called Trying to Find an Ambulance. Oh, wait a minute. What word is that?
Trying to find a balance.
Oh, okay. Balance.
I could use an ambulance, too, quite honestly.
All right, I got it now. It's kind of turning into one word there.
Warren came in here and asked me if I could read that, and I said, doesn't matter. Adam's going to make fun of what you wrote no matter what. I read it fine the first time, so I'm just in defense of poor Warren.
All right, sorry. Screwed me up a little there.
Okay.
Trying to find a balance.
The taste of blood. And I don't know what that means, but I know that I mean it. Maybe they're as evil as they seem, or maybe I only look out the window when it's scenic. Atmosphere finally made a good record. Yeah, right, that almost sounds convincing. The last time I felt as sick and contradictive as this was the last time we played a show in Cincy. Get real, they tell me. If only they knew how real this life really gets. They would stop acting like a silly bitch. They would respect the whether or not they believed in it. Doesn't take much and that's messed up, because these people do a lot of simple to impress us. While everyone was trying to outdo the last man, I was just a ghost trying to catch some Miss Pac-Man. Hello ma'am, would you be interested in some sexual positions and emotional investments? See, I'm not insane, in fact I'm kinda rational. When I be asking, yo, where did all the passion go? East Coast, West Coast, down South, Midwest. Nowadays everybody knows how to get fresh. Somebody give me a big yes. God bless America, but she stole the beat from Bless. Now I'm too f***ed up to dance, so I'ma sit with my hand on the front of my pants. You can't achieve your goals if you don't take that chance. So go pry open that trunk and get those amps, you know? Days of kings and queens, I was a jester. Treat me like a god, or they treat me like a leper. See me move back and forth between both. I'm trying to find a balance, I'm trying to build a balance. In the days of kings and queens, I was a jester. Treat me like a god, or they treat me like a leper. You see me move back and forth between both. I'm trying to find a balance. I'm trying to find a balance, I'm trying to build a balance. I'm trying to find a balance, I'm trying to build a balance. So now I keep a close eye on my pets, because they make most of their moves off of instinct and sense. It's eat, sleep, and self-defense. So straight, you can set your clocks and place bets. Wait, let's pray on a blind, deaf, dumb, dead. Hustle, maybe a couple will love what you said. MCs drag their feet across a big naked land with an empty bag of seed and a fake shake of hand. Yeah, I got some last words. All of y'all, stop writing raps and go play volleyball. Gotta journey the world in a hurry, cause my attorney didn't put enough girls on the jury. Guilty of dropping these bombs in the city, but I'm innocent. Love is the motive, that's why I'm killing them. Guilty of setting my fire in all 50, but I'm innocent. Blame it on my equilibrium. In the days of kings and queens, I was a jester. Treat me like a god, or they treat me like a leper. See me move back and forth between both. I'm trying to find a balance, I'm trying to build a balance. In the days of kings and queens, I was a jester. Treat me like a god, or they treat me like a leper. You see me move back and forth between both. I'm trying to find a balance. I'm trying to find a balance, I'm trying to build a balance. I'm trying to find a balance, I'm trying to build a balance. I'm trying to find a balance, I'm trying to build a balance. I gotta find my balance, I gotta find my balance.
Oh my God, I love that song.
Oh man.
It's nothing great. Like
that.
It's
great. That ambulance song.
The greatest song of all time.
Awesome. Seven's Travels is the name of the CD. Trying to find a balance.
Canadians love it.
Is the name of the song.
Trying to drive an ambulance.
Atmosphere is here tonight. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll speak to young Ashley, 21. She's perky. I like her voice. Ashley?
Yeah.
All right. No sexual abuse, huh?
No, not at all.
That's my girl. All right. You think you can keep from being sexually abused for about 4 minutes?
Oh, well, I would hope I wouldn't be sexually abused in 4 minutes. I would be terrible to go.
Come in, give me a hug. Yeah.
That's it. I got to beat off. I'm going to beat off. Dr. Bruce, you and Drew, you got the same thing. You like to pack it out of here while the mics are still hot. I told Drew, hey, we're going to go to break in about 2 minutes. He's like, yeah. Throws a chair out, starts walking out of the goddamn door. He's like, you want to wait till we actually begin the break before you start taking a leak? Come on, Bruce. Okay. Let's focus now. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with Atmosphere, Dr. Bruce, if we don't fire him in the interim, and Ashley after this. Hey, yo, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Atmosphere's here. Actually, Slug is here from Atmosphere, and here comes Ant, DJ. What?
You call me Dr. Drew. That's fine.
Oh, they call you Drew?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, did I?
Yeah.
I said Slug is here.
You said I'm Adam, and that's Dr. Drew.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Here's the whole thing, Bruce. First off...
That's a compliment. I have no problem.
Go ahead and be Dr. Drew. It's a better life.
Okay.
All right, you be Dr. Drew, I'll be Slug, you be Ant, and you be Mr. Dibs.
You got a crazy wife you got to deal with, but other than that, it's a good life. You get to be on TV every once in a while. You get the respect of your peers instead of them all laughing maniacally behind your back. And I can't say I'm Adam, and that's Dr. Drew 7,000 times and then change midstream. So just be Drew, all right?
No problem.
It'll be easy. And I'll tell you what, I'll make it fair. I'll call myself Andy. Jeff. All right?
Andy.
Yeah, I'll call myself Andy. So I'll screw my own name up. Seventh Travels is the name of the CD. When we left off, we were going to speak to Ashley, who's 21. She's bi. She's married. I don't know. Ashley?
Yes.
All right. You're married to a man now, yes?
Yes, I am a wonderful man.
Okay, hold on. Never sexually abused?
Never, ever.
When did you lose your virginity?
I lost my virginity about at 18, my senior year in high school. I had been dating the guy for 3 years.
Uh-huh.
But my dad passed away when I was about 6, so it's
because you sound 6. Mm. That's what happens. Wherever the
girl.
Where the trauma is, that's where you get locked in.
Oh, for sure, no. I just had a baby who was born about 3.5 months prematurely, and he's doing just fine now. They thought that he might pass away for a while. And that he's been doing great for a while, and he's actually named after my stepdad, who never did a thing wrong. He actually told me, you know, go out, be wild, do whatever you want to do. That's your choice. Sure. You're an adult. Sure. That's your decision.
Do a gangbang movie. What do you care? You're not my daughter. Knock yourself out.
No, that's not what it was. I think that I was a good child simply because that my parents told me I trust you.
Okay. If you lost your virginity at 18 and you've been with this guy for 3 years, how do you know you're bisexual? Where does that part come in?
Oh, now see, okay, not virginity in the technical way. I, like, messed around a lot when I was younger.
I heard that if you do it 10 times or less, it's just experimenting.
With a woman, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've experimented a few times with a woman, but I would say that actually, like, penis in vagina and doing the whole spiel, I lost my virginity around 18.
Alright.
I think more people should call it the whole spiel. That was my favorite part.
The whole spiel.
So you're calling to ask us about what?
Well, I'm calling because when I moved out, my parents gave me a large sum of money, and I had a best friend who I had been really, really good close friends with for a very long time.
How much money did your parents give you?
$120,000.
Oh, am I going to kick my dad in the nuts when I see that bastard next? $120,000. I'm going to kick him.
That's a lot
right
of money. Are you happily married?
Yeah, you should be.
I am extremely happily married.
Why did your parents give you $120,000 when you moved out?
Well, if you want to look at things like that, I'm
a futon chair for my stepmother when I moved out.
How much of this money do you have left?
A chair, not even a full futon.
Wait.
A chair.
Okay, what are you saying?
It doesn't matter how much I have left, but it matters that I married a husband who is the heir of a very large multi-million dollar construction company and the gym, and I'm very well-to-do right now.
Okay, and so okay. What happened to the money, or what's the reason for the call? I still don't...
Well, I had a friend who I had been very intimate with in high school, who I thought was my best friend forever, you know? And then after I loaned her all this money, she then just, like, turned around and started telling all of our friends that I lied and I made this all up and that I just lied.
Right, how much money? How much money does she owe you?
No.
Yeah,
is that relevant?
How much?
Around $1,000.
No. Well, that's nothing.
That's you know what? Just why don't you look at it like you paid $1,000 for a piece of information about a friend that's not really your friend. For $1,000, you got to eliminate somebody from your life that you didn't need.
Chalk it up and move on.
Or is this?
But she was like, I had been intimate with her, and she was my best friend. And she was
No. What I think you said is true. You learn, and that's not the most expensive lesson. And not only that, but like the intimacy part, like you know, like. Well, you can't hold on to everybody that you've been intimate with.
God knows I've tried.
That's a cheap lesson if you learn something.
Quiet down. Ashley.
Yeah.
We got to take a break. Here's what I'm going to say. I got 10 seconds here. You got bigger problems than this. There's some kind of personality thing going on with you. I can hear it in your voice. That's all I do is read voices. That's all I do. All right?
Okay.
So there's issues. Look into them, work on them, or you're going to screw up that kid. Who cares about that $1,000? But you got bigger fish to fry than that. And we'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Andy. That's Dr. Drew. All right. I screwed them both up. That's fair, right?
Yep. Fair enough.
All right. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. I give him a 6.5. He's doing an adequate job. He's got some hair gel in. He's feeling confident. He's getting comfortable behind the mic. God bless him. Atmosphere is in the studio tonight. And Slug both here so far. DJ Mr. Dibs will be out here as soon as he's done blowing a butt.
Oh, this is Mr. Dibs right here.
Oh, did I screw that up?
That's okay. You're Andy. He's Dr. Drew.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
I'm Eddie Vedder. Thanks.
All right. Well, yeah, that's it. We're screwing everyone's name up. I like that. You know, less pressure. Just call anyone. Start calling people what they look like. And by the way, you know, it's really tough to memorize a guy's name when he doesn't look like his name. Once in a while, you meet a guy looks like a Chuck, and he's like, hey, Chuck, and you'll never forget it because he looks like his name. But if that same guy's name is Seth, you're screwed because he doesn't look like his name. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Are you surprised that you haven't been asked how you got your names tonight?
No, you guys know how rappers get their names.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, here's the thing.
There's a big rap pool with names written on little pieces of paper.
Yeah, they have a drawing.
And when you become a rapper, you reach into this pool and pull out a name, and that's the one you're stuck with.
The thing, here's what I've learned from doing this show for several years. Don't ask bands where they got their names, and don't ask rappers where they got their names, because it's always like...
Wait, why are you separating bands from rappers?
Here we go again. No, what I mean is, I wouldn't ask you guys where you got the name Atmosphere either, just because it's a story they've told 1,000 times, and even if you don't know it, they've told it 1,000 times, and they get pissed off. Yeah? And don't ask them why they wrote a song, don't ask them what a song means. Because they go, whatever it means to you.
Yeah, just nod your head and play along.
Yeah, you'll never get a good one on that. It's never anything super
specific.
No,
but you can ask questions that other people can't ask because of your exalted position in life.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, being a C-list celebrity, I get to ask questions that other people don't get to ask. All right, we'll hear something from Atmosphere, and we'll also take some calls. I got to give a quick, and this is the last of this godforsaken Cabin Fever promotion. Oh. You call in, you get the DVD if you're over 18, and then you enter the drawing to get a ski vacation to Whistler, which is in Canada. Fake airfare, everything. We put you up in the cabin, lift tickets, the whole thing. And it goes on sale today, by the way, this DVD. Also, another quick plug. Drew and I are going to be at Stanford.
University of Stanford.
That's right. Or Stanford University. And which one was it now?
I think it's Stanford University.
That's right. We're going to be there tomorrow, everybody. Probably somewhere around 8 o'clock. All right. Let's go to the phones. Jennifer?
Hi.
You're 18? What's
Hi.
Up? What's happening?
My boyfriend wants me to deep throat, but it makes me gag. Is there something I can do?
Mm-hmm.
What if he doubled his penis over so it wasn't as long?
Just tacoed it. He'd go for that.
Yeah. I tried that, and then it popped right in the middle of the thing, and it shot through her cheek. It was not pretty.
Trauma.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. The zip tie gave
away.
Seen
that in the ER many times.
Yeah. How do you do that? How do you condition yourself?
Couldn't you just, like, take it slowly, learn how to relax? Like, you don't have to learn it in one night or one month even, but couldn't you just, or just say no?
Yeah. It's,
I don't mind doing it. It just makes me want to throw up. I mean, because it hits the back of my
bulimia.
Throat.
Bulimia.
Yeah, some people.
Do you brush the back of your tongue when you brush your teeth?
I brush my tongue. I don't know how far back I go.
You should work on that every morning.
Yeah.
Slowly, just take the toothbrush, go a little further back.
Yeah. Gag reflex is not right. That hard to get rid of.
Yeah, really? Really? Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
See, my DJ could deep throat your boyfriend, obviously.
Oh. Yeah.
But the.
How do you make yourself vomit, though, when you do want to vomit? You see?
I don't look. Drew,
you've screwed yourself,
Bruce.
You've right. Screwed. The whole hand is going into the mouth.
Wow.
How do you think he got this gig?
I'm just.
Yeah. Somebody has to play Bruce, the rapper.
Someone else got the gig the same way you did. Mm. Jennifer, I like being able to make myself heave if the bed is spinning at 4 in the morning.
But the other thing is, people don't think the gag reflex was put there by God or nature to protect. Against certain things, and maybe this is a situation.
Hey, Jennifer, your name's Jennifer, right?
Doing porn, yeah.
Listen, I'm going to tell you a quick story, and take from it what you will. I had a girlfriend a couple of years ago who wanted to try because I kept asking her to try, but she could never do it. So one night, she's trying, she's vegetarian, by the way. That has something to do with the story. She tried. She ended up throwing up not dogs all over me.
Wow.
Now, here's the answer to your problem. Next time he wants you to do it. Puke on him, he'll never ask again.
That's a very good point. Very good point. And by the way, I'm going to extend the puking thing beyond oral sex. Like someone wants to borrow money, puke on him.
Puke on him.
Somebody has a critique or a criticism, puke on him. Someone wants to borrow your car, you puke on him. You start puking on people, they stop asking for favors. Yeah. And they learn very quickly. This works with children. You know what I mean?
Throw up on a child.
He's nagging you. Mommy, I want to get this sweet breakfast. You're You just heave all over the junior's head. You know? Yeah.
But a little trauma.
Daddy, I want to go to Knott's Berry Farm and then Legoland. Come on, Daddy, please.
It'll be calm,
Anderson, that's where you're supposed to hit it again there. I want Pop-Tarts for dinner.
Where did you get that soundbite from? I feel like I know that girl.
Finding. I want a puppy. Can we have a puppy? We need a new puppy. I want a Pokemon video game. Is you having a yeah? Huh? All right. It would stop your kid. And a kid would freak every time he asked for something. His hands would go up. He'd get all freaked out.
And then, years later, he'd be calling your show.
Exactly. And Anna would be asking him, what was the trauma?
Heaving on the head.
Mom used to throw up on me.
It's diabolical because, A, nobody, child protective services could never really prove what you're. It's like, well, listen, I got a little acid reflux. Obviously, it had nothing to do with him wanting the fruit roll up, Your Honor. I got a little acid reflux. What are you going to do? There's no marks on the kid, It would be perfect. It's diabolical.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that. If I have a kid, I will discipline him with vomit. And then, when I send the kid to camp and stuff like that, I'll have to vomit into a bucket for like 2 weeks and then send the bucket over to the counselor and tell him, here's a ladle. If he acts up, you just whack him with
Sprinkle him.
Yeah.
Sprinkle me, man.
I dropped a number two in there, too, in case he really gets out of hand. Yeah. Bruce, good parenting?
Yeah, yes.
All right.
But, there's some crazy person out there that may take you up on this.
Let's
and then
so.
You'll be on Entertainment Tonight. I didn't mean that anyone should do that.
No.
Baby,
no.
I love you. You smell like my mom.
I agree, though, that that brushing the back of your tongue is probably a good way to loosen up that gag reflex.
Okay.
It's a good way to start. Good way to start. Cena?
Uh-huh.
Hello?
Hey, I actually have a question for Atmosphere.
Here they are.
Hi.
Hey, I was just wondering what type of music you guys listened to and like growing up and how it influenced what you do now.
I mean, me personally, I'm Slug, by the way, the rapper from the group. I grew up pretty much on strictly hip-hop. I didn't really discover rock music until I started making out with white chicks. I guess, you know, now I listen to pretty much everything and anything because being, you know, wanting to be a musician, I was quick to get record store jobs, which, you know, enabled me to learn more about different types of music. And now, you know, I pretty much listen to everything that you listen to, that they listen to, that whatever. It's kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Johnny Cash, homie. Lots of Johnny Cash.
Hey, and also, are you guys going to be opening a Fifth Element somewhere around here?
Where did you hear that? Don't tell anybody nothing about that, man. Shut up. Go away.
Why? What happened?
Nothing.
All right.
Is it going to happen? Because I'm asking just out of the blue.
Out of the blue. Thanks for saying blue. you know.
All right. I'll be waiting for it.
Stop.
No.
Hey, Cena.
Yeah.
Actually, we're going to San Francisco tomorrow, so we're going to see you there.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to the Atmosphere show at the Fillmore too.
Oh, really?
Thanks for the support, homie. You're my man. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I was actually wondering if I could get some help on this project that I'm doing, though. Because I'll be at the show and stuff like that.
Rhymesayers.com. Hit me up there. Info at Rhymesayers. You can ask me whatever you want there.
Slug will do it all for you at the show.
And don't come to the show unless you bring a girl with you.
Trust me, there'll be plenty.
Word.
They're all there for you, Slug.
Yeah.
God loves right. ugly. So do
bring
women.
Bring an unwrapped girl. You put it in a hopper when you enter the arena, and then we give it to guys who don't have girls. Especially
women love ugly.
Holidays. It's tough, yeah. So it's a whole... I mean, some guys wouldn't bring canned food for the homeless. Atmosphere, you bring chicks for guys who don't get laid. It'd be a nice project.
Are they for you or for
put a couple barrels out front?
No, I don't need anything. I'm good. It's you know, it's just I'm an advocate of people meeting each other and becoming families.
Yeah.
And what better place to meet each other than at one of my shows?
Awesome. Have you you guys played the Fillmore before?
Yeah, in San Francisco.
I've never been there.
It's a lovely venue, man. It's really great. Sound is good.
Is it all restored or something?
Yeah, they did restore it, and it's very nice.
Wow.
Like,
I like that.
You're famous. You should just be able to knock on the door, and they'll let you sleep there. Like,
yeah. Hey, this is Adam Carolla. I'd like to crash out on stage. Yeah, thank you. Step aside, my man. I got to work on my gag reflex. All right, let's talk to Travis, who's 18. It's just to swallow. Well, a lot of BJ questions tonight. Travis?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
All right. You're gay?
No.
No. Okay.
For when I go down to my girlfriend, mm-hmm. when she comes, I swallow the fluid because she's holding my head down. I was wondering if that's going to harm me inside.
Wow.
No. Absolutely not.
That's a lot of woman.
I do the same thing, Travis. You're good to go. Drink up, homie.
All right.
I like the part where she holds your head down, though.
Yeah.
Do you like that, Travis? Do you like having your head held there?
Yeah, especially about my ears.
Then you don't have a problem. You shouldn't be calling.
No gag reflex problems.
I was just making sure that it wouldn't hurt me inside or anything. Like, I wouldn't, like, be, like, throwing up all the time or something.
Do you have a trouble walking or anything like that? You know, is everything okay? Your eyesight's good? You know,
yeah,
like,
just get a little lightheaded sometimes.
All right. What comes out? What comes out of there, Bruce? I've never seen a woman orgasm. What goes on there? What it's happens?
Their glands that produce a clear fluid.
Yes. Yeah, it's like when guys gleek on you. Remember that gleek? Go all over the back of your neck. Some jack off in junior high. You feel the spray on the back of your neck. Some jackass back
there. Do you remember when you actually learned that was called gleeking? Weren't you like, gleek?
I'm like, couldn't you just beat off on me, dude? That'd be less humiliating than you spraying me with your glandular fluid on the back of my neck. And there's nothing worse than when somebody does something and it becomes popular and you can't do it. The only time I've ever gleeked is on a date when I'm trying to explain something and it just comes out inadvertently and then it's humiliating. You know, you'll gleek like once every 4 years just talking. Or eating. You go, oh, boy, yeah, I like you, too. You then the gleeking comes up.
Do you remember the cartoon, The Super Friends, The Wonder Twins?
Yes.
Their monkey was named Gleek. So I have a problem.
Oh.
I have a problem with the fact that that's called gleeking.
is who invented gleeking? And here's my question. Do kids today gleek on each other?
All the time.
They do. So, like, if I went back to my old junior high, if I went back to Walter Reed Junior High in North Hollywood and said, who here gleeks on the backs of necks of people who they sit behind, a bunch of hands would go up and go, yeah, yeah, no, we're gleekers.
I think it's a band thing.
Oh, really?
Well, you know, I get gleeked on because I'm the DJ. I'm the low rung.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of gleeking going on at rehearsals.
Where are you going with this?
Do you gleek on me?
You gleek upon? Every night. What do you do?
I can't gleek.
I can't gleek. If I could, I'd gleek on you right now.
I'm from Ohio, Adam. Oh, so a lot of gleeking. I get gleeked on because I'm from Ohio.
Well, I'm just wondering if, and call in if you've gleeked on anyone or been gleeked
call
upon.
Call in if you know how to spell gleek.
Now, what about gleeking between the space between the teeth to get more distance? What's that called?
Is that gleeking?
No, that's not. There's another name for that.
Yeah, that's it.
No.
It's a weird. But that's essentially spitting. What's it called? What? Oh, no. All right.
That's a medical syndrome.
Let's move forward. I just wish I could gleek.
It's called bad gums.
That's all. So I wish I could gleek, and I wish I could do my tongue up so it looked like a taco, you know? Yeah, there you go.
Well, drop for drop, the stuff in your mouth. Your mouth has the worst
Brush the
bacteria.
Back of your tongue.
Bad business. Yeah.
It's going to help me gleek.
No, it'll help you do the taco thing.
All right. Oh, really?
I don't know.
Couldn't hurt. Corey?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yes, Adam, I am.
You're a lesbian?
Very much so, yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You ever get gleeked on in junior high?
No, but I tend to gleek sometimes when I speak.
Really?
Yeah, I kind of hate it because I spit all over myself. I'm kind of sad.
It's always weird when somebody spits on you and they kind of know you. They spit on you, but you have to pretend like you didn't notice they spit on you. So you give it that five count and then you wipe your hand and then they say something because they knew it. Now you look like an a-hole for pretending like they didn't in the first place.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So what's up there, Corey?
Well, basically the reason why I call is because it just really bothers me that it takes me so long to get off.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when I have issues with intimacy. Personally, I have borderline personality disorder. That's my issue. Mm-hmm. And I've been working on it, you know, getting better, you know, for about 3 years now. I mean, I was diagnosed 3 years ago, and
Are you taking any medications?
No, I'm weaning myself off of them. I'm trying to figure out life without being controlled by drugs.
Yeah. Well, sometimes drugs are a good thing.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. But also, I feel very, how do I say, controlled, you know? Like,
yeah.
I feel like a zombie.
All right. What's going on with the lesbian stuff? You get molested or are you just a true lesbian?
I think I was born this way. I mean, I've always had weird feelings for a very long time.
All right. Did you get molested anyway?
Well, with borderline personality disorder, that's very common.
Yeah, so somebody must have screwed with you.
I don't. Well, see, if they did, I have no memory of it. I have no actual memory of being.
Yeah, but have you blocked out a bunch of your childhood? Were you abused?
I don't think so. No. I basically had a good growing up stage as far as, like, childhood, growing up. I don't remember having a father, but my mom was pretty good.
Okay, so you're borderline, you know, typically you have a poor sense of self, and boundaries are a real problem, and you get into relationships, and it's real intense, and you go from loving to hating the person without much rational basis for it.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of, you have these real sort of swings in the relationships, and...
Well, I don't know. I have never really been in a real relationship because how I got sick was because I was hearing voices in my head and this chick was telling me. Well, actually, she's not just a chick. She's my best friend for a really long time, for about 2 years now.
The voice in your head or some? By the way, how come voice in your head never tell you to exercise and listen to classical music? It's always kill. Or cut yourself.
Commanding thoughts.
Yeah. You can't have a voice in your head tell you something decent every once in a while? Hey, how about a low fat diet and a few push-ups?
They're screened out. They're selectively screened out.
Yeah, there's no voice in anyone's head ever tells me that. Let's start practicing Tai Chi and learn to play the flute.
Well, I play guitar a little bit. I mean, music does help me relax a little bit, so.
All right. Hey, Corey, hold on a second.
Okay.
Listen. We can all hear in your voice that you have some deep issues.
Uh-huh.
And you attempting to master yourself by either Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
You know, yeah. The whole medication thing, maybe you didn't want to feel like a zombie, although we got zombie on one hand and crazy person on the other hand. I might go zombie.
You know what I'm saying? It sounds reasonable, but at the same time, you know, I've been doing good for about 2 years without it.
Your doctor's working with you on tapering you off? It sounds like you're probably on a mood stabilizer and an antidepressant, I would suspect.
That's what I was supposed to be. Yeah, I'm supposed to be taking.
Are you able to work?
No, I'm on disability right now.
Okay.
Just as long as you're working with your doctor, I don't think the primary problem is...
Are you working with your doctor? Are you seeing your doctor?
Well, I see a therapist. I have an appointment next week, but I'm seeing my therapist, and really, I don't know, it's really hard for me to get into a conversation with her like this. I mean,
Corey, listen to me, because we got to go. Here's what you need to do. Throw yourself on the mercy of the doctors, the therapists, whatever they want you to do, just do it.
Okay.
Please trust me on this.
Okay.
You'll be in much better shape. Go to your therapist, open up, tell them everything you're feeling. Your doctor has a suggestion. Listen to the person and do it. They're smart. They're old. They know what they're talking about. They're not the man. They're not trying to turn into a zombie. The whole reason you're in front of them is because you need their help.
I agree. Totally.
Okay, let them help you. Okay, don't treat it. It's no different than if you take your car into a mechanic and the guy has a couple of suggestions and wants to change this or rebuild
it. Borderlines tend to over-idealize. It's the patient.
Let them do it. Let them do their job.
They walk in, they hold your hand. You're out of 150 doctors, the first one I know. You're wonderful. You're going to save me. And then a week later, they hate you. So it's difficult for borderlines to stick with a therapist.
That's why I'm telling them to shut up and stop listening to voice in their head and start listening to voice in the radio. That's the ace man.
Yeah.
Just everyone. Look, here's the thing, everybody. The whole reason you're in the position you're in is because you've been listening to yourself a little too much and not listening to your guidance counselor, your parents, your doctor, the nurse, physician, psychologist, whatever it is. Start listening to other people.
Take direction.
Yes. If you're doing great, if you got a great job and you're on top of the world and you're in a stable relationship and everyone loves you, fine. Listen to yourself. It's like, look. Here's the guy. All right, here's the scout, the guy who's leading the wagon train. If this guy is leading you to safety, you're not getting any Indian fights, plenty of water and fresh buffalo along the way, and you're making good time through the desert, that's the man you should be following. But if you're just going in a circle and having to live off the dead pioneers who died behind you, maybe it's time you stop leading and let somebody else do it.
Right.
That's all you need to know. All right. Fantastic. Atmosphere is in the hizzy, as we like to say here. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. I'm Andy. That's Dr. Bruce. Let's call a spade a spade. That's Bruce over there. Slug and DJ Mr. Dibs are here tonight. Ant got too drunk and had to... Had to crash out. He couldn't maintain.
Look at him right now, though. He's breaking down. Like he's being metaphysical right now.
Science of life is going on in the other room.
All right, that's cool. All right, now where are we? Atmosphere here tonight. We'll hear something off of Seven's Travels in just a second. I think we'll take one call.
It's a band call.
We got a band call. All right, take a band call. Katrina.
Hi.
You have a question for the band?
Yeah. Hi, Slug. I just want to congratulate you on Seven's Travels.
Thank you, Katrina.
And I want to know, how do you feel with all this, like, exposure? Like,
I'm a little neurotic.
Really?
I mean, hey, Mom, I'm on love lines right now. You know what I mean? Like, I not really sure what's going on or why it's going on or how it's going on, but I'm not really complaining either. I'm going to ride this roller coaster till the wheels fall off.
Yeah. That's cool. Great.
Where do you live, Katrina?
Huh?
Where do you live?
In Long Beach.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks. Thanks for coming to the show, and have a very, very good week.
You too. You have a good night.
Thank you, Katrina.
Where are you guys playing tomorrow?
The Henry Fonda Theater.
Oh, yeah, on Hollywood or Sunset.
It's Hollywood.
Hollywood.
Yep.
Hollywood. Nice old theater there.
Very nice.
Good times.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. I drive past that on the way to work, and I can always tell.
It's one right off the side of the 101.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Good old great place. Theater there. All right. And again, Atmosphere is going to be on Jimmy Kimmel Live Friday night. So you can, those of you who can't make it out to Henry Fonda Theater tomorrow, can see him on Jimmy Kimmel Live Friday night. All right. Let's hear something from the CD. Yes. Yes. Anderson, feeling good?
It's still Chris that does it.
Oh, Chris does it? Oh, no. How long has it been Chris that's done it?
About 6 months.
6 months? And which one's Chris? He's the kid to my right?
He's the one that says Love Lines.
Oh, Chris, the one that calls the show Love Lines. Is that a love line?
Right.
That's okay. I don't correct people. I'm cool that way. All right, so Chris, you're doing it, yes?
Yes.
Looking good, buddy? Yes. Who was the other guy I was just talking to?
That's Mike.
You don't know? Anderson?
Mike.
Well, Mike.
Fred.
Fred. All right. Let's hear something off Atmosphere. Yes, or from Atmosphere, I should say. All right, now we're ready to go. This is called National Disgrace.
Jerk once they get to know me, but they don't stop calling, they read me well. It's no work if I was phony, I'd win a trophy. Who needs to make records when there's seeds to sell? Freak the bell, and make it all spin crooked. God please help, too much grin to look at. Grabbed the tree by the limb and shook it. Like, have you seen my self-esteem? Where the hell'd you put it? Oh wait, never mind, I found it in a bottle. Drunk at the troubadour, talking to a model. Wrecked the rental on Santa Monica Boulevard. I was headed to the elevator, slap a security guard. Proud and stubborn, loud and arrogant. Is American as apple pie, an embarrassment. Package the kid's face, put it on display. Look, ma, another national disgrace. Dumb and ignorant, drunk and belligerent. Open up your heart, y'all, come on and let me in. Package the kid's face, put it on display. Look, ma, another national disgrace. The liquor gets hold of the head, liver, soul. Blurry on 6th Street and Red River Road. Last thing I remember was the Ogden Theater. Backstage bathroom, making out with all three of y'all. Kicked out of Top Cats, for where I put the vomit at. Saw me passed out in a laundry. Malnourished and topless, slurring and obnoxious. Like, yo, we got this. Zodiac killer's about to rock this. That's a great American musical. Pissing on the box off, pick apart the detail. Alcohol and female all around the world. Same Houston and Ludlow, Max Fish Vampire. You pour the beer and I'll bring the satire. No problem, I'll play the part of doorknob and make it look so good you're gonna wish that it was your job. Proud and stubborn, loud and arrogant. Is American as apple pie, an embarrassment. Package the kid's face, put it on display. Look, ma, another national disgrace. Dumb and ignorant, drunk and belligerent. Open up your heart, y'all, come on and let me in. Package the kid's face, put it on display. Look, ma, another national disgrace. It's all about the hangovers and late checkouts. Made banging on the door like, wake up, get out. Come on, mommy, y'all probably don't want me coming out like a zombie brushing teeth in the lobby. This is a career, not a hobby. Ain't no reason to fear what you wanna see. Hey, paparazzi, don't you wanna watch me quote the Fonzie and then crash this Maserati? Sweatpants, t-shirt, mesh hat, blue blockers. Feeding Jack D to a room full of teeny boppers. Howdy, neighbor. Take a shot for flavor. Let's debate whether or not we should punch the waiter. I'm just kidding, let's love each other. It goes lick, swallow, suck, and order another. Do what you like, don't nobody care. It's a sign of success only in America. Proud and stubborn, loud and arrogant. Is American as apple pie, an embarrassment. Package the kid's face, put it on display. Look, ma, another national disgrace. Dumb and ignorant, drunk and belligerent. Open up your heart, y'all, come on and let me in. Package the kid's face, put it on display. Look, ma, another national disgrace. I can come
trouble or hurt no one.
Never that.
Yeah, atmosphere is here. Ant came in, took a look around, and split again. Seven's Travels is the name of the CD. Band's going to be at the Henry Fonda Theater tomorrow night, and then Jimmy Kimmel Live on Friday night. All right, let's get back to the phones. Let's play a little Florida or Germany. Here's how the game goes. They call in. They tell us the most bizarre question. It's usually tell us some true crime sort of thing, and then we guess. Did it come from Florida or Germany? Because actually, Germany or Florida.
Is it Germany or Florida?
Yeah, that's David Allen Greer. All right, go ahead, Eric.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
You're 24. Germany or Florida?
Yeah, real quick. First, I wanted to say to the band Atmosphere. I haven't heard of you guys out here, but that last tune was pretty groovy.
Thanks a lot, man. Groovy's cool. What I'm shooting for, homie.
You guys get some radio play out here sometime, maybe. I liked in that first tune how you rhymed y'all with volleyball.
You like that?
All right, man. Well, here's this Germany or Florida. Ready?
Yeah.
All righty. 24 people in a small town were diagnosed with mono. Authorities traced the source to a kissing booth at a church carnival. The carnival was being held to raise awareness for sexually transmitted diseases. Germany or Florida?
Wow. Florida.
Florida. Sounds like Florida to me, too.
Florida.
Germany.
Oh, Bruce.
Contrarian.
Bucking the system. All
kissing
right,
booth?
We got three Floridas and one Germany.
Bruce has got it. It is Koppel, Germany.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Oh.
It's not really true crime, though.
Yeah, it's still a wacky story.
Why don't you make fun of yourself now? Since you
I'm still shooting. I'm still batting about 850 on these Germany and Florida. All right, Eric, thanks for calling. We'll send you out a windbreaker.
Cool.
All right. I wonder if anyone actually thinks we're sending him anything.
Never.
And I wonder if it's illegal to say
he's getting
over
cabin
there, we're
going
to send you stuff. Oh yeah, you do qualify for that cabin fever thing.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Bruce, have you given up on picking calls?
Three times I pointed to this one. I had this here, and you took it.
Yeah, had it. Okay. Listen, I'm a big enough man to admit when you're wrong. All right, let's talk to Josh, who's 18. Josh?
Yeah, I'm right here. Adam,
happening?
I want to say that you're freaking God, dude.
Thank you, my son. What's your question?
All right. My friends were telling me that, my girlfriend's 15, and we were having sex before I turned 18. And my friends were telling me that if we were having sex before I turned 18, then it wasn't illegal after I turned 18. I was wondering if that's still
what your balls got
race.
Grandfathered in. Is that how that works? like, hey, my balls, I laid claim to that vagina when I was 17. Like, so that whatever, like, I don't have to put fire sprinklers in my apartment because it was built before 1978. Like, that kind of thing where they just grandfather things in. No, that doesn't work.
Who told you this?
Huh?
Who told you this?
Some friends of hers and some friends of mine.
How old are you?
Pardon?
How old are you?
He's 18.
How old are you when you had sex with your girlfriend?
17.
Statutory rape.
But then turned 18.
Now, see, I think in a lot of states, and I can't say this for all of them, but if both of them are minors, there is a clause that's an 18-month difference. So if you are a year and a half older than your partner,
right,
there is room for it to be illegal. But,
here's one of the problems. Every state has its own statute, and some are incredibly young, and others are 18. And I've said this many, many times. Could we just go ahead and make it 18? And is anyone going to argue about that? You know what I mean? If you go,
I think the question is, what if they're both under 18, and one of them's 15, and one of them's 17?
Statutory rape.
That's
But
he's 18 now.
Where do you live at?
That's the problem. He's calling from a Yucca Valley, which is...
So it's not Cincinnati desert. Or Montreal?
Right.
Then
right.
It's statutory rape.
Hawaii's a good place, too. Here's all I'm saying, age-wise. How are you supposed to tell a guy who grew up on Hawaii, who lived on a diet of poi and young poontang? All this guy does is bang underage chicks, and then he moves to Arizona, and all of a sudden, the thing's all screwed up. All the wiring's different now. All I'm saying is it, you know, we do this with booze. It's like, look, 21, buy alcohol, 18, join the military, 18, you know,
You can buy cigarettes. Let's just call it 18. Mm-hmm. Just pick a number and decide on. Okay, maybe 14.
So you're saying if there's grass on the field, you're playing ball, Adam.
I'm saying 9. I'm just saying, whatever, let's just pick a number. And
if not,
just
you're just practicing,
It doesn't
right?
matter how old you are, where you travel, that's the age.
Consistency.
Yeah, it's easy to break the law. Here's what I'm saying. If the speed limit is dramatically different in every city and every state, it's going to be easy to break the law when you're driving through because you don't know. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Pick a number. 55, pow.
Or just put signs on the highway saying how old you have to be to have sex.
Yeah. Now entering Kentucky.
14.
Nothing over 12, please.
Kentucky is a different story on right below Ohio.
I'm just saying, whatever it is,
13.
When you drive in,
13.
That's what it should say on the sign. Then.
It does.
The legal system will do nothing to simplify it.
Okay.
The law.
All right.
Gives them less business.
Atmosphere is here tonight. Take a quick break. So no more banging your girlfriend. She's 15, you're 18.
Right.
But you go for oral and finger blasting, yes? No, I don't see it. Look, go with someone your own age. You got some chick who's like in the 9th grade. You're a senior in high school. Come on, give me a break. We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody, it's the Love Line. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Bruce. Atmosphere is here. Name of the CD, Seven's Travels. I just witnessed a dude, you're effed up conversation, which is always funny because whenever a guy gives you the dude, you're met, he's always more messed up than you are. Even though you may be messed up, the guy who delivers the dude, you're effed up, is more effed up than you almost every time.
That must be me. I'm the one that's messed up.
I just always think it's funny when then it gets volleyed back. I'm effed up. Look at you, dude. And whoever delivers the dude you're effed up is always twice as effed up as the guy he's accusing.
And starts
of being
a fight eventually with the
no,
dude.
No. Well, yes.
Not here, but I mean in the bar.
Lindsay?
What's going on?
I like the dude maintain one too, where the guy pulls you aside and talks you really like, dude, you totally screwed it with these chicks, and everyone's in the bar and they hear you, and he's telling you to behave and mind your P's and Q's, except for he's slobbering, he's gleeking, and everyone in the bar can hear him yelling.
Classic.
I like that one too. Yeah, Lindsay.
Yeah.
What's happening?
What is going on?
You got a question for the band?
Yes, I do. Slug, what's going on?
What's up, Lindsay?
Oh, my God, I'm such a fan.
Thank you.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited to see you on Jimmy Kimmel. I'm going to be watching TV, and I live in Portland, and I'm going to go see that concert.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be fun.
Hell yeah, I'm so excited.
How do you feel about the Suicide Girls leaving Portland for Los Angeles?
What's that?
Nothing.
Actually, my friend was going to do that.
Really?
Yeah.
They moved. They're down here now in L.A.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I had no idea. No, she talked about that like a year and a half ago or something. I don't think she ever went through. We don't talk anymore. Anyway. But, my question was, actually it's kind of stupid, but what kind of girls are you into?
Pulse.
What's that?
I mean, that's a good question, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I'm into girls with fire.
Girls with fire?
Yeah, they play with fire.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
And sword swallowers.
Are you kidding though? Or are you serious?
I don't know. Lindsay, do you play with fire?
Are you trying to get me beat up when I go back to Minneapolis?
She's got a girlfriend back in Minneapolis, right?
No. What's that?
Yeah, listen. Here's what you can do. You're never gonna have him. You can watch him on Jimmy Kimmel Live and masturbate.
Are you serious? Oh, my God. That's
All right.
It was just a question. It's not like...
It's a weird question. I don't know what kind of girls I'm into.
That was just
you know?
A suggestion.
I'm into girls that don't listen to music at all.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see.
Wow.
Well, I guess that was a stupid question, but then I have another...
What was that? That was what God does when you make fun of music and you're in a band. it taps your ears. That was brutal.
Hey, Lindsay, we'll be in Portland. I'll make out with you. Just pull me aside.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to have 30 chicks and 4 dudes calling themselves Lindsay. With that to look forward to. Cindy?
Yeah, what's up?
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's happening?
I was wanting to ask you something, or Dr. Bruce, or any of you guys, actually. Me and my boyfriend, we've been going out for a year, and, like, for 9 months, we, like, had sex nonstop. But recently, I have just, like, not had the drive. And I want to know what's going on, you know, and I've been really, really moody and bitchy.
Yeah. All right. Well, woman's prerogative. All right. You ever been abused? Do you have any trauma, anything like that?
I never got abused. Like, which kind of abuse, though?
Well, here's the thing with, like, people who were abused. They take these crazy swings. They get really hypersexual, and then they just dry up. That's when I move in. I usually catch them right after their, you know, super hypersexual days.
Well, because, like, when I was little, I was raped. But, like, you know, that was hell longer.
Yeah. Well, that couldn't have any possible effect on you now. You're 17. I mean, hell, you were 6 at the time, right?
Yeah, I was 6.
Okay, well, then that couldn't be it, you being brutally raped at 6. What must it be? That's barometric pressure. Where are you calling from? San Francisco. Has it been overcast?
Excuse me? No, it's actually clear out.
All right, Cindy, did you get any therapy after that?
I tried going to therapy, but, like, the counselor wouldn't get over the whole rape thing, and I'm like, I kind of dealt with it by myself.
No, sure. You haven't dealt with it.
You do it, you move on. You deal with it about 6.5, and you move on.
Okay, yeah. Your inability to follow the guidance of the therapist is indicative of the problem you're in now. You really need to go back to therapy. You're underage
when you were 6. And by the way, and when I say stuff like, I spend an entire show saying stuff like, look, you're going to go back to your loser boyfriend who works at the batting cage. And you go, yeah, he does work at the batting cage. Does that ever surprise anybody when I call the age out or call the profession out or anything like that? I name people all the time and people just go right along with it. Yeah, I was right when I was 6. And then you just go around. Like, you know. I did call. I'm not Uri Geller over here, but there's never any mention. No one ever goes like, hey, wow, I was raped when I was 6. What made you say 6? They just kind of, they never go like, what made you say batting cage with my boyfriend?
Hey, Adam, you are really, really good at what you do. If nobody's telling, I will be the first one to tell you this.
I don't need him to say.
No, I'm not trying to pat your back. I'm trying to say, like, straight up, like, I consider myself an emotional consultant of sorts just for my friends.
Thank you.
And, like, sitting here watching you, like, do what you're doing and weaving it out, I think a lot of your sarcasm and whatnot goes over some people's heads. And, like, I'm kind of smart and I try to get it, but, like, you're really good at what you do.
Thanks,
like,
But listen, and I appreciate that. And a compliment's always nice, but it's not so much the compliment part. It's more the part of, hey, that's weird. Like, how did you know that was my dad's name or he drove a forklift or I was raped when I was 6? They don't do that part. I mean, I like the praise part, but it's not that I'm looking for. It's more the part where they stop and go, what made you say the age? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, people don't do that when they call
this
show.
Yeah,
because it's a weird thing. It's like I have this theory. Like when kids tell you, I went to school, and they start naming their classmates as if you know them.
Right.
That's something that kids do. You know
what
I'm
saying? But the more profound the trauma, I mean, this is an extremely critical age being raped, and I've gotten over it. I've dealt with it.
Cindy, who did this to you? This rape, by the way.
My friend's son, like a long time ago.
A long time ago. I know you keep emphasizing the long time ago and your past it thing, but that we feel like you're in some denial.
I tried to like push it out of my mind when I was little. Like I tried to like repress it. Like I guess I took psychology, and then that's the term they use to repress bad memories.
Yeah.
And so like I never thought about it, and I told my cousin the first time when I was like 12 or something, and it always seemed like it wasn't real, you know. So I tried to like forgetting about.
How old was the person that did this to you?
He was probably way older than me. Like, he was, like, probably 18, 17.
Oh. Yeah, that's horribly traumatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then my parents had, like, you know, like, my mom was a battered woman. Like, my dad beat my mom, and I had to watch all that.
Okay. But here's the thing. And I know everyone who calls a show never gets an answer to the question they're calling about, because that's not the real question.
Yeah.
And we'll decide what those are. For you, it's about the abusive environment you grew up with, the rape you suffered when you were 6, the whole part where you're not feeling as amorous as you were 8 months ago. That's all connected to this. And that's
what
I said at the top of the thing. Yeah, because you'll go hypersexual, and then you'll go dormant. You'll shut down. So you're starting to shut down. So you got to get some therapy.
Right.
There's groups. There's all sorts of stuff you can do with this. And, by the way, your dad's probably an alcoholic.
My dad, I haven't talked to him for like years. So.
Where's my bourbon?
But he probably was an is he an alcoholic? Was he an alcoholic?
No, he never drank. He like smoked cigarettes.
He beat on your mom and he was sober, huh?
Yeah, because like when he was little, his dad used to be his mom. So I think it, like he used to watch it and
right,
you know.
All right. Yeah, it's like some people.
Yeah, Cindy, remember, you can know all the psychology in the world, but it doesn't give you any help in dealing with the consequences of that kind of abuse.
Listen, therapy. Don't worry about the sexual.
Don't look for insight on your own. Just
that's right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Well, that's the show. I want to thank Atmosphere for showing up tonight.
Thanks for having us. Thank you for having us. Very interesting evening.
These guys are going to be on Jimmy Kimmel Live on Friday. Going to be at the Henry Fonda Theater. Yeah, I always want to say Henry Ford for some reason. Henry Fonda Theater tomorrow out in Los Angeles. Seventh Travels is the name of the CD. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Bruce. Say mahalo.
Yeah, whatever.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.